Stay tuned for episode 23 of the Connected Kingdom podcast, connecting truth with life in a digital world. And welcome to yet another episode of the Connected Kingdom podcast. I'm Tim Challies, I'm your host for this show, and I'm here with David Murray, who stands in as co-host. How are you doing this week, David?
Doing well, Tim. It was good to see you in the flesh last Saturday, see that you actually do really exist, but now we're back to our virtual friendship again.
Indeed, yeah. I was out in Grand Rapids to spend some time at Zondervan with my publisher and the editors talking about marketing plans and other fun stuff, and then I dropped by a conference that you were doing a seminar at, so it was good to catch up with you and Kevin DeYoung and Mike Whitmer and a few other people.
Yeah, it was a good time. We really enjoyed meeting some of these guys.
Yeah, now we've got a guest on the show. Why don't I let you go ahead and introduce him?
Okay, Tim. We have with us today Greg Lucas. I came across Greg when somebody sent me a link to his blog, Wrestling with an Angel. And you get many links to blogs and you instantly forget them. This was unforgettable for me. It opened up for me two worlds, a world of dealing with severe disability in our children, but also, and even more unforgettably perhaps, the world of learning lessons about grace from such experiences. And Greg has a son, Jake, with serious disabilities, and he writes very movingly at that blog about that experience, but he has been really blessed with this ability to draw the most beautiful spiritual lessons from that painful experience. And so much so, and so blessed have people been by what he's written, that he's actually now just recently released a book called Wrestling with an Angel. So welcome, Greg. I've given you my little bio of you. How about you tell us just in a minute or two a little bit about yourself and the way the Lord has dealt with you in your life up till now?
Well, thank you, David and Tim. It's an honor to be speaking with you. I'm a police officer in a small town called Barbersville, West Virginia, and it's a very Mayberry-like city where people still know your name, and the police are still the good guys in the eyes of the community. I've been married for 22 years to a woman who I can actually say is my best friend. My wife, Kim, is a flight nurse for the NICU at our local hospital, and she flies on helicopters to pick up sick babies and then nurses them back to health. I tell people that she's the closest thing to a superhero that I know of. I have four children, all through the grace of adoption. Jacob is 17, Noah is 16, Aaron is 15, and Hope turns 5 on Halloween. And she wanted me to make sure that I threw that plug in there. So each of my children, I guess you could say, displays amazing stories of God's providence and grace. Noah and Aaron were taken from an extremely abusive environment where they were almost beaten to death. They came to live with us through nothing less than a miracle and are now two of the finest boys a father could ask for. Hope was abandoned at birth on a street corner in Beihai, China. And as the Chinese refer to it, the red thread of God's providence connected her to us on the other side of the world in the hills of West Virginia. And we went to China to rescue her. And she came home and became our daughter and ended up rescuing us. And another story of God's grace and redemption. And my son Jacob was adopted at birth and has experienced miracle after miracle in his life. And despite the fact that he's severely mentally disabled, has been one of the greatest teachers in my life for the grace of God.
Yeah, that's very clear in all that you write, Greg. But can you just tell us a little bit more detail about how Jake came into your life? I seem to remember quite a moving story about that.
Yeah, Jake was He was born in the neonatal intensive care where my wife works as a nurse, and she was assigned to take care of him as he was a very tiny, premature little baby boy. And in the process of caring for him, after several weeks of intense care, she noticed a note on his isolette that he had been abandoned by his birth mother to social services. And we'd only been married for about 4 years and had not really planned for adoption, but this little boy had actually stolen my wife's heart. And when she shared his story with me, he captured my heart as well. And a long and miraculous story short for the interview, we adopted Jake and we brought him into our family, and so began the lessons of life.
About those early days, I know that it took some time for you guys to find out that he was quite severely disabled. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, Jake was a premature baby, so developmentally he had some minor delays, but he was progressing very well and seemed to be quite a normal baby. He was very bright and bubbly with a happy personality, and shortly after his first birthday, he began having seizures, and these were apnea-related seizures where he would stop breathing for several minutes at a time. And these seizures went on for about a year, and by the time they were finally controlled, Jake had developed several severe mental and some physical disabilities.
So what kind of impact did that have on your family, Greg?
Devastation. Kim and I were absolutely devastated when Jake first began to have the seizures. It turned our world upside down. And by the end of that year, we were absolutely depleted physically, mentally, emotionally, and of course spiritually. But apparently that was exactly what God's plan called for, to bring us to a place where we would trust in his strength and not our own. And I suppose you could say that this depletion is still a factor in our lives. Over the past 17 years, we have run to God for strength, but now we have hope and faith in the gospel, and we know that this gospel is greater than anything we could possibly face with our son or in any other situation or circumstance that this world has in store for us.
Can you tell me how the Lord saved you and saved your wife, Greg? I believe, if I remember correctly, it was somehow through this period of time that you came face-to-face with the gospel, correct?
That's correct, and I love telling people that my testimony in the sentence is that a developmentally disabled, nonverbal, autistic child led me to Christ. Mm-hmm. And I tell the story in the book of the time when my wife and I were very traditional Christians. We were members of a church. We had Bibles that we never read. We prayed sometimes when life got hard, and we went through the motions of being very religious. But it was a moral religion where we justified ourselves based on our behavior, and we justified God's love for us based on how smoothly our life was going. And then God brought Jake into our lives, and through his illness and disability and near death, God brought us to a place of total desperation where we knew we had nothing to offer him. And at the same time, he had everything to offer us. And I guess I should clarify that by saying that he had everything to offer us, I don't mean he offered us physical healing. He didn't offer us an end to our trials. Things actually got more difficult after we came to Christ, and that's biblical, I believe. But he took the weight of our burden, which was really the weight of sin, and he opened our eyes to the bigger picture of what this tragedy of disability was all about. I tell people all the time that I can't really pinpoint the exact time and place where my justification occurred, but I know it's happened because of my intense sanctification. I can point to the place where I came to God in complete desperation over the illness of my son, and the peace that he provided as a result of my submission to the gospel. But there have been so many times in my life where I would have doubted my salvation if it were not for the intensity of God's hand in my life. And most of that intensity has come through suffering and depression and failure and heartache, but it's still God's hand. And as strange as that may sound, it seems as though God has used these hard things to give me most of my security in my salvation, if that makes any sense.
It does, Greg. I think every Christian can understand that, at least tried Christians. One of the things I've admired in your own writing, Greg, is the way you're able to describe the impact of this, not just on yourself, but even on your other children. Can you tell us how you've ministered to your own other children in this situation? Because obviously, often in such a situation, the other children can almost be forgotten. How have you managed to juggle that?
Well, I have to admit that many times I have not.
Okay.
I have not juggled that, and Jake's illness and Jake's disability has taken center stage in the life of our family. And there was a period in our marriage where it took center stage in our marriage and really hurt our marriage. And our marriage struggled greatly at one point in all of this. And the statistics are all out there that if you don't protect your marriage and you have a child with disability, that your marriage will fail. Mm. And so our marriage was hurting. And I know there were times during all of this that our other children felt neglected and were hurting. But at the same time, I know that because of Jake and because of being around Jake and being Jake's brother and Jake's sister, that my kids are better kids because of that. That they have gotten the opportunity to experience God's grace in our family, and they've done that in more of a mature way than a lot of kids, even Christian kids, can claim. Mm. And so, yeah, it's been difficult, and I know they have at times probably felt neglected, but at the same time, they've seen grace in an amazing way, and I guess that's the good, that's God's grace in all of it.
It does seem remarkable that your marriage has held together when you consider some of those external factors, the child with a disability, you being a police officer, your wife being a nurse, so both of you doing shift work. It seems that everything was in place there for you to have a grueling marriage and probably lead to divorce, and yet God really has sustained your marriage. And not only that, but as you can read through the book and just in talking to you, God has really caused that marriage to thrive.
Yes, and even just recently in the past 3 years, our marriage has taken on new ground and is absolutely stronger than ever. We're doing things now that we didn't do when we were in our 20s, dating and protecting the intimacy of our marriage and our family. So.
So, Greg, one day you're sitting there and you're pondering all that God has led you through, and you decide, I'm going to start a blog. Tell us a little bit about that decision and about your experience of blogging. I'm sure you never expected when you typed the first letter that you would end up with such a profile and a ministry to others.
No, I sure didn't. And the blog began as a journal. And the journal began out of really desperation. I began journaling in order to vent my frustration and my hurt, and I quickly discovered that by writing about my circumstances that I could then step back from them and see a much bigger picture of God's grace and what was really going on. One day I was sitting at my computer, and I just decided to throw some of my journaling out to the public blog world, and it wasn't long before I discovered that there were many other people out there going through the same experiences that my own family was going through and sharing the same struggles that I was venting in my writing. At first, just a few people responded, but that really meant a lot to me because I didn't expect anyone to respond. And then Noelle Piper got a hold of my blog, and she began tweeting about it, and Justin Taylor linked it to the Gospel Coalition site, and then some super blogger named Tim Challies took it from there, and the blog traffic just went off the charts. And today I get the opportunity to minister to people from literally all over the world about the grace of God through the life of my disabled son. And I'm amazed every day that I log on and see the comments and the traffic and just the hurting people out there that are going through the same thing that we went through.
Yeah, isn't this blogosphere an interesting thing, hey? Now, a little while ago, we had Justin Reimer on the show, and I'd like to draw a connection between this show and that just by asking you, as I understand it, you and your wife went to an Elisha Foundation retreat fairly recently, and I'd just like to ask you your impression of that and what that time was like for you.
Justin has become a very close friend to me, and he relentlessly sought me out through the internet, through Facebook, through my blog, just to try to find me after reading my story. And he brought us out to Oregon to attend this retreat, almost against our will. We didn't want to go. We didn't know anything about it. It was too much trouble. It was too expensive. And he brought us out there and just absolutely ministered to us and loved on us. Paul Martin came and I thought was going to preach some very practical self-help application skills to parents with children of disability. And Paul Martin ended up opening up the scriptures and just delivering the gospel to us and expositing the word for 4 days and just ministering to us with God's word. And we were absolutely overwhelmed. And by the time the retreat was over, we were changed forever and came back home and started intensely working on other aspects of ministry. And just a couple months ago, Justin contacted me and asked me if I would come to the winter retreat in January and be the guest speaker. And so I'm very excited about that, too, and just amazed at what God has done through that relationship with me and Justin.
Greg, I'm so pleased you're getting these opportunities. I think one of the most attractive things about your writing is the brutal honesty of it. You just put it out there, you tell it as it is, and I think a lot of parents in similar circumstances say, that is exactly what I feel, and yet I've been so afraid to say it. But you then go on to just bring in the amazing grace of God in these painful situations. So maybe just to give a sample to some of our listeners who may not have read Wrestling with an Angel, the blog or the book, tell us one experience, say, that really taught you much about the grace of God.
I think the greatest overall experience that I've had has been the continual, I guess I could use the word manifestation of my relationship with God as seen through my relationship with my disabled son. One incident in particular that really turned on the lights for me in this area occurred during one of the many mundane yet physically, mentally, and emotionally draining times of Jake's morning routine. And I came into his room to wake him up and get him ready for school. And as usual, he was very combative. He is in the mornings. And he was covered in his own feces and urine. And we went through the typical fight and physical struggle to get him cleaned up and ready for school. And while I was trying to get him clean, he kicked me right in the face and gave me a bloody lip. And in reaction, I just kind of fell back on the floor and immediately began grumbling at God for all of Jake's disabilities and wondering why God would allow this to take place and why Jake would not let me take care of him. I mean, I was willing and wanting to meet all of Jake's needs. I was willing to spend my entire life bathing him and cleaning him and feeding him and doing whatever it took to take care of him, but he just wouldn't allow me to do it. And there on the bedroom floor in the midst of the feces and the urine and the blood and sweat and tears, God just displayed to me in the most gentle way, showing me how much he had loved me and how willing he was to take care of me and how my sin was like Jake's disability and how so many times I was more willing to lay in my own filth of sin instead of being washed clean with His grace. And in response to all that, I crawled over to Jake and I embraced him, actually against his will, restraining him there on the floor while he continued to fight me. And I simply held him and whispered in his ear, "I love you. I love you. I love you no matter what. I love you." And that one incident has been probably the greatest life illustration for the gospel and the cross that I have really ever personally experienced.
Greg, I'm kind of speechless. I wish we could really just end the podcast there. I actually remember reading that out to my children one Sunday night after church, which we got into the habit of doing. They would always say to me, "Daddy, Daddy, can you read that man's blog to us?" And I remember the impact of that story on my own children, and I hope many will read your book and read things like this and other similarly moving, humbling stories. But before we end, Greg, there's one question I would like to ask you. I know a young couple, and they've been given a very severely handicapped child through birth in the last year. What practical advice or what spiritual advice would you give to a couple in that situation? Because it is a real struggle.
A practical advice would be to protect your marriage, protect your entire family as a whole, and do that by spending quality time with your spouse. Do that by trusting other people to come and watch your disabled child so that you can have that quality time. But more importantly, and without this, the practical doesn't mean anything. The spiritual advice would be run to the cross. Your circumstances do not determine God's love for you. The cross determines God's love for you. But at the same time, your circumstances can point to the gospel. Your circumstances can point you to God's grace. And so just step back and see the bigger picture of what God is doing in the life of your child, in the life of your family, and just absolutely and totally and humbly submit to Him and let Him be your strength through this journey.
Well, thanks for that, Greg. It's been great to talk to you. I've really enjoyed reading your book, and maybe that's a little bit of a strange thing to say since I was involved in moving it from blog posts into book format. But yeah. I think what I love about the book, what I love about your blog and this new ministry that's developing around you is that it isn't about disability, it's about grace. And you're so willing to show us how disability has taught you about grace, and then really how we're all disabled and how we're all in need of grace in our own ways. So grateful for your ministry, grateful that you took the time to talk to us, and know that you're in my prayers and David's, and that we love you as a brother. We're proud that you're on our team. You're just such a you're just such an example to us, and I've learned so much by reading about you and reading your book. So just thank you.
Yes, thank you, Greg, and your whole family are in our prayers. One of the blessings of your ministry is that, you know, it's made us realize the sufferings that the whole family goes through. So we remember you, your wife, and your other children too, and please tell them that.
Thank you, David.
Cafe, and I'm watching all the passerbys pass my way.